Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's always great to be in Orange County. Today's our last day in Orange County. We leave tomorrow. And then on the 24th, we had to move it up a week yesterday because of some things we have to take care of in Mozambique. And so we'll be leaving the country on the 24th. But it's always a joy to be here. It's been great to be able to come and share three times at the church. It's been awesome. I couldn't do the same message every time when I came here because I had to make them different. But it's been a joy to be with you guys. If you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Asleep on the Boat is the title of my message. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the..." Do I have a little distortion there? Oh. "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And during all of this, while all of this was going on, Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. Now, what's interesting about this is it says that as evening came, Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to head out on a little rickety boat. I mean, I'm thinking they're all rickety back then. They don't have GPS. They don't have all of the things. Let's go at evening time and let's go across the lake. It doesn't sound like a very good plan. I'm just saying. I want to go in the morning, you know, when it's nice and glassy out there, and then we'll sail across. It'll be nice. But God knew, and God wanted them to be in the middle of a storm. I'm getting a signal. Do you want me to change mics? I can hold a mic. I'm good at that. I do that in Mozambique. All right. Is it on?
Test, test.
Now I get to hold the mic. I do this in Mozambique. I hold the mic, so this feels more natural. Now I can walk around and I can kind of feel like I can move. Little thing on my ear. You know, I went to one church and they taped it on with a piece of Scotch tape. And it felt kind of weird. It worked well, actually. I thought it was a pretty good idea. So for some reason, we're going to go at nighttime, get in a lake, go across the boat. And how many of you have been in church and heard stories that the Sea of Galilee gets rough and during a storm, and fierce storms can come in really fast? And do you really want to go at night? Doesn't seem like quite the right time to be going. But God said, let's go at night, let's get in the boat, let's go across. And God knew they were going to be in the middle of a deadly storm that would almost kill them all. Right? It was part of the plan. It was part of the plan for them to get in a boat and go into a deadly storm. Yes, that was the plan. It wasn't the disciples' plans. The disciples wouldn't have said that. John wouldn't have said to Mark, "Hey, I think we should go in a deadly storm and really test our faith so we can grow." None of us want to go through a storm which is going to make us grow and make us come out on the other side more holy and pure and changed and patient and transformed. No one wants that. So God allows us to go through difficulties in life, and yet there is this wonderful picture of what I want in my life. What I want in my life is to go through all the storms of life, which will come, and I want to have my head on a cushion and be asleep. At least spiritually, figuratively, I want to be relaxed. And I'm sure as Jesus went across that lake, he must have been stirred a little bit. Water's sloshing up, the boat is filling up. He must have woken a little and said, "Yep, there's a storm." And then he went back to sleep. Now, I want that in my life. I want a storm to come up in my life and say, "Yeah, there's a storm in my life. I'm going to go back to sleep." I had a prophecy. Lorena and I, you know, we believe in prophecy. We don't despise prophecy. I've had some weird ones, but I don't despise prophecy. Somebody had a prophecy. They said, "I see you and Lorena sitting in front of a TV." That's a cool prophecy. I'm sitting in front of you. You're watching a movie, and there's other people around, and they're all watching the big screen. And you're all watching a movie, and everybody else is scared because it's a scary movie. And you and Lorena are there all bored, just sitting there. And they said, "That's a picture. Because all these difficulties come in your life and you're just sitting there. Now, I not think that's true, but I would love that in my life. In the middle of all the difficulties, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to put my head back on the cushion and I'm just going to sail through. I want that. And I'm sure you all want that. And it is not only that we want that in order to feel not stressed, it is also important because if we don't have peace, we cannot do the things that God has called us to do. You know that? It is hard to take one step in front of another if we are filled with fear and anxiety and worry. And if we're not at peace, we cannot do and fulfill the things that God wants for us. I have a friend, J.P. Spitz. I don't know if anybody knows J.P. He's been around forever in the Christian circles. And he's going one foot in front of the other to Pakistan. He's going on many trips in order to help the church and help to release people in human trafficking. Now, you don't go to Pakistan unless you have a peace. My friend Paul that wants to go with him next trip, he's got to have a peace before he can step out and do that. My best friend, his son, goes to Vietnam and he gives out water filters to give them pure water, gives them to the pastors, and the pastors give them to the people. And it is a wonderful thing, but if you don't have peace, you will never step out and go to Vietnam, right? If you're full of fear and anxiety, so we need peace, not only because it's nice, but also because for me to do what I do, for you in order to fulfill the calling that God has for you, you need peace in order to put one foot in front of the other. So we need this peace. We need to be like Jesus on the boat and not full of fear, but full of faith. Gosh, where is your faith? Jesus said. Jesus just knew this is what they needed. Now, God I'm noticing I'm not the youngest one in this room. I mean, I'm not the oldest one in this room, I should say. In Mozambique, I'm almost the oldest one. The average age is, I think, 37 that people live to. So I'm always the oldest one in the group. If you've been around a while, you know that you're going to go through difficulties in this life. How many can say you go through difficulties in this life? Now, if you're 17, you might think, no, you don't. Everything's going to be good. But when you're older, you know, you go through difficulties in this life. And when you go through difficulties in life, you need to understand it is part of God's plan. God did not take them around the coast. It would have been a nice hike. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. It doesn't look like there's any trails over there on the other side with those mountains, but I think I'd rather do that than go across with storms and waves and water filling the boat and thinking you're going to capsize. I would have walked around. I don't mind walking on the seashore with Jesus. That'd be fun. But sometimes you don't walk on the seashore with Jesus. Sometimes you're in the stormy boat with Jesus. And it's part of God's plan for you to be in the stormy boat with Jesus. Right? Now, in our church, we say amen, and everybody has to say amen. Amen. All right. I might do that, but we don't usually do that here. I never did here. Actually, they don't do it there. I think I told you this before. What they do is the pastor, he goes, hallelujah, and everybody goes, amen. I do it to wake people up, just so you know. This side of our church, I just want you to know, if you ever come visit, and you're all invited to come visit, and after you hear my stories, I'm sure you're going to want to, because Jesus wants you in the boat. Over on this side of the church, it's all the widows. We have a widows program with 150 widows. They're all sitting on this side of the church. We have about 300 kids. They're all on this side of the church. No problem them being awake. And if I can keep the widows awake, I can keep anybody awake. It really helps my preaching. Hallelujah! I have to do that a few times in order to wake them all up. Well, they walked all the way. Anyway, another story. Now, Jesus does not want us to go around. He doesn't want us to wait till tomorrow. He wants us to get in the boat with him and go through difficulties. And why? Because Romans 5:3, it works in us patience. Romans 8:28, it works together for good. 1 Peter 1:7, the trying of our faith, which is more precious than gold, can result in praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Difficulties, 2 Corinthians 12:9, will strengthen and cause the power of Christ to rest on us. I like that. I want the power of Christ to rest on me, so maybe I have to go through the storm. Suffering can complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish us, 1 Peter 5:10. Storms of life will give you patience, and let patience have its perfect work so you can become perfect and complete. That sounds pretty good. Stand firm through it all, and you'll receive the promised crown of life, James 1:12. And if you're victorious through all the difficulties of life until the end, God will give you authority over the nations, Revelation 2:26. One day you will have authority over the nations. Don't worry about what one president can do to one nation. It's not going to destroy Jesus and all of his plans. Amen? God's got a plan. He's glorious. He's going to do what he wants. And one day you don't have to worry about these little guys running around who are running nations. You are going to rule over the nations. And that's part of God's plan for you if you endure through all of the difficulties and storms of life. Therefore, faith, which is more precious than gold or silver, is enhanced through the storms of life. And I want to be able to go through those things like Jesus and say, yeah, okay, we're going through the storms, but you can just relax. We took a trip from Maputo, which is the capital of Mozambique, to where we are in Beira. It's a 14-hour drive, and we're driving, and through one part, there's lots of these guerrilla shooter, shoot the cars on the street kind of a people. And I don't want to go into all the details. It's too long a story. But it's a very dangerous area to drive through, and you go on a convoy. And you can only go in the morning. You go this way. In the afternoon, you come back this way. Okay? So you have to go with this military convoy for 100 kilometers. It's a very dangerous area. And we're going from Maputo through there. We don't drive on that road anymore. In fact, that very day, there were some people that were shot on that road while driving through there coming the other direction. So we're sitting in the car. We have 1,000 Bibles in the back of the truck. I should say hallelujah to that. And we're bringing them. The only place you can get them is Maputo. We're driving them up through there. And we're praying, God, just protect us. I don't know if you've ever driven through an area where they're shooting people on the road. You know, I you don't know if you want to duck down to get a little lower. Was it good, you know? And we had the Bibles in the back. I was really seriously thinking of piling some of those on the right and left of the door as we drove. Maybe they'd stop the AK-47 bullet as we went, duck down, put a bag of Bibles. I was thinking about piling them up in the back and put our kids in the middle in the back. But we had a peace about it. We felt we should do it. We got in the boat. Sometimes there is a thin line between what you're thinking right now, stupidity, and faith. There is a fine line sometimes between those two. What is stupidity and what is faith? When are we going to step out and do those things? And you do those when God gives you a comfort and a peace to be able to go through those things. Now, sometimes they say, don't do that. That'd be idiotic. Somebody says, you know, you're okay. I'm with you. I'm going to be with you in the boat. But in through all those things, we need peace. Now, that same day, we made it through the 100-kilometer part. And as soon as we stopped. We thought, well, let's get a drink or something. You know, they sell bottles of Coke that are made with real sugar. They actually taste really good. They're kind of tempting for us people that don't want to drink too much sugar. But my wife, she decides, I'm going to take a picture. There's a guy with 3 goats on his bike. The military all run over to our car. I think they were waiting for her to do it with her camera. I really do. And they grabbed her camera and they said, you're a spy. You're taking pictures. Because we'd just gone through this military convoy. It was a military area. And you're not allowed to take pictures. So they confiscate the camera. And they want to say, we're going to have to put you in jail. And I stepped in front of her and said, no, it's my camera. I'll take care of this. And I went away with them under a tree. And we started to negotiate. Because that's what we were doing. They took her camera. They say they're going to put me in jail. They call me a spy. And really, they're there in order to negotiate. How much is it going to cost to get my camera back? Now, that kind of thing happens all the time. And in those circumstances, you need the peace of God to rule your heart and mind. You really do. Just to get in the road and go, man, they're going to pull me over again and take my documents again. You need the peace of God in order to put one foot in front of the other, no matter what you are, no matter what you do. And it can be difficult. And I want to learn this. I want to learn about the peace of God that rules my heart. I want to cast all my cares and my anxieties on him. I want a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. I want that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the last year has been a little bit tough since we came back here 14 months ago. I went back to Mozambique, and as soon as I got back, I got malaria. Now, malaria is kind of a drag. This little mosquito comes and bites you. And when the mosquito bites you, it actually, this little parasite comes in and goes into your liver. And your liver, it plays around a while and mutates into something else that comes and attacks your blood cells. Enters into your blood cells, multiplies, and explodes your blood cell. So you lose all your red blood cells as it's having fun in your blood. And when you get sick, it's not because they've been destroying, it's not because of the parasites, it's actually the pieces of your cells and the debris and the toxins that are in your blood that make you sick. That's what causes you to throw up and vomit or have chills or all of the different side effects of malaria. It's your blood that's full of these things that are happening, going on. So as soon as you take the medicine, within 3 days you feel better. First 2 days, it's killed them all. And it only takes 1 day for your blood to actually filter out all of those toxins, because your liver and your kidneys, they can do that in 1 day, and then you start feeling better, because that's what brought the symptoms. The problem is you just lost a whole bunch of red blood cells. Now, you don't feel that bad, you just don't have any energy. You're just lethargic. You might get headaches and you're dizzy, but you're just kind of pooped. And then it does take a lot of effort just to put one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, and do all the things that you need to do. So I got malaria, got better. All right, great. Got malaria again, right in a row. See, there's nothing stopping you from getting it over and over and over and over again. So I got malaria again. Go through the 3 days. Now it's destroyed a lot more red blood cells. Now I'm even more anemic. Now I'm dragging along even more, and I'm going, Lord. And you know what the doctor says to me? Our doctor's on our base. You need to get out of Mozambique for a while. You can't have malaria for at least the next 6 months. You have malaria again, this could start hurting your organs. And so I have to decide, do I leave? Do I get on the plane? Do I jump on the plane? Do I leave the country and get out of here because I don't get malaria one more time? Or do I stay because there's a lot of projects we have going, seminars. We haven't finished the church construction for a new building. We're doing these church in a days. Should I stay or should I go? Sounds like a song. Should I stay or should I? I wasn't singing that song, but now what should I do? Now, it's always a temptation when people say, you should go to Orange County and eat all you can eat sushi. I mean, it's always a temptation, right? It's always sitting there in the back of my mind. In fact, it's one of the things that keeps me going. I could just leave and go to Orange County and eat all you can eat sushi. I have that option. The plane's right there. It would be easy. It was easy to change reservations yesterday. I could just change my reservations, get on that plane, I could go, and I could be here in 36 hours. Not as quick as you'd like, but, you know, that's about the quickest you can do. But what should I do? So you pray, but if you stay, you want to have peace, right? You don't want to just, you know, bail just because, you know, this could happen. You want to know, Lord, what do you want from me? So you need some guidance, but you also need peace. And so I need peace, and I want to be sitting there, not just thinking about and dreaming about all you can eat sushi in America. I want to just be able to relax through whatever difficulties life brings, and I think that's something that we all want. I don't want to be controlled by fear. I want to be controlled by God. And I don't want to be stressed out and anxious and fearful. I want the peace of God, which guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And a lot of that is because we've gone through those storms over and over, and God has been faithful over and over, and he's never left us before, and he's always been faithful before, and we have to understand by faith he's going to be faithful in the future. So Jesus being asleep is a picture. But soon, verse 37, a fierce storm came up. The high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water, but Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? And I think it's so important to understand that here are the disciples. They're thinking as soon as they go through some difficulty, God, don't you care about us? And I think it's important as we sit here this morning and talk about going through difficulties in life, going through storms in life, that we understand very clearly that we're going to be tempted to think, God, are you with us? Do you care? Or just leave me here in this situation. And you have to understand that all of Scripture tells you, yes, I'm going to take you through those storms, but I'm going to be with you, and it's going to produce something really, really good in you. Something more precious than gold. And if you don't have that concept that little bit of spiritual growth you do is more important than gold, then you're going to have a hard time in this life. A little bit of growth in your life is going to affect you for all of eternity. And it is more important than anything here. And if we don't have that concept in our mind, then we are going to be full of fear and anxiety. And so when there's problems and difficulties, we need to understand that God hasn't deserted us. You know, a lot of people think, you know what the first thing they think? God's punishing me. I did something wrong. What did I do wrong? And that's not bad. I don't mind that. I don't mind when something bad happens. I go, is there something I could change in my life? Okay, I don't mind that. That's a good question. Is there something I could change in my life? But as long as we understand God loves us, God cares about it. And if there's any sin in your life and you've already repented of that sin, it's over. It's done. It's gone. It's forgiven. Don't even think about it. He's not punishing you once you've said, God, just forgive me, a sinner. You need to understand that God's for you. God's on your side. God loves you. He cares about you. So you just thank God with all of your prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, and he will supernaturally guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So I had malaria twice, and by the second time I was dragging. But I was still, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, trusting that this isn't time for us to go home yet. It wasn't until, like, I don't know, 7 months later we went home. But I was just, well, maybe not quite that much, but then I started feeling better. Started taking this iron supplement. My red blood cells are building back up. They come back pretty quick. Our bodies are amazing things that God has made. I'm starting to feel better. I'm going to start exercising. I don't have a lot of time when I'm in Mozambique. So my sister-in-law tells me, looking back on it, it was a bad idea, but she tells me, if you will just do max effort exercises for 90 seconds six times, that's as good as an hour and a half workout. Oh, I like that. I'm adding it up. Okay, 90 seconds times six, that's only 9 minutes. I can work out nine, well, you got to rest in between, but that's 9 minutes with a little bit of rest. So I get on my bike. I have a bike that's on the little thing I brought from America that kind of the bike mounts onto, and I'm pedaling my bike for 90 seconds max effort. First one, I'm it takes me about 20 minutes to recover. I'm starting to add it up and going, I'm going to be here a lot longer than an hour and a half. I should have stuck with the hour and a half. So I'm at the fifth one, and I'm I did not do max effort on the sixth one. So I got pain in my chest, all across my chest here. I go, man, what do I do? Just have a heart attack or something? I'm jokingly thinking. Next day, my chest still hurts. So I go, man, I better go get this checked out. So I go to the private clinic, which is about 45 minutes from our house. I go to the private clinic. I see the doctor. I talk to the doctor. The doctor's from Cuba. First thing he says to me is, my daughter's in America. I wish I could go to America, but I'd have to dig ditches. They'd never accept my degree, am I? That did not instill a lot of confidence in me when the first thing he tells me is you have to be digging ditches in America. But he's the best doctor all the way around, this Cuban doctor. And he says, oh, we got to do some tests on that to find out what that is. We're going to do an x-ray, we're going to do some blood work, we're going to do an EKG, stress EKG, and we'll get you through all these things, and then we'll take a look at that. Well, anyway, I go through all that, chest x-ray, blood work, I do an EKG, I do a stress EKG. I got the readout. Right in front of me, the doctor's got the readout. I hate when they shake their head. And no doctor should be able to shake his head when he's looking at your greetings. It doesn't instill any confidence or joy in you whatsoever. He looks at the thing up on the top. I have it still. It says, posterior myocardial infarction. Now, that is not something good you want to read on your stress EKG. I just want you to know. It means this. And he goes, yes, it looks like maybe part of your heart died in the back. Bummer. That is a bummer, right? And it's not his opinion. It's right up there on the paper. I have that paper at home. I should have brought it. I should have waved it around. Right up on the paper. I was kind of bummed. Went home, started talking to Lorena. Well, we've got this much life insurance, and you could pay off this, and maybe you could do that. Realized I don't have enough life insurance at that point. I was a little stressed. I go, we've got to go down to South Africa. South Africa, they have good doctors, not from Cuba. And they have good equipment. And we go down there, we'll get tests. Maybe I need a bypass, or maybe I need some kind of a, I don't know, all those things I went to hospitals and prayed for people when I was a pastor. Those little angiograms, little tube things go in there. I probably need something. So I go down there and get all the tests. So I call up a pastor friend of mine, South African pastor. He made all the arrangements. And so I get on the plane for LAM. That's the name of the Mozambican Airlines. We call it LAME. It's actually L-A-M, so there's not an E at the end, so it's not really lame, but we call it lame. It's always late, and so it's late. I'm thinking, am I going to make my doctor's appointment? So I get on the plane, we take off, and the guy next to me is really nervous. A lot of Mozambicans have never flown, so they're kind of nervous, and he's sitting next to me. And we get out there a little bit, and tell us in Portuguese, and they tell us in English, we're going to be dropping off fuel for the next hour because we're having problems with the landing gear. Now, he could have told us the landing gear was locked down, right? But he just tells us we're having trouble with the landing gear. So the guy next to me is really panicking. I said, no, I'm sure the landing gear is just locked down. We just took off. So if there's a problem, I'm sure it's locked down, and we're just going to have to land. He's letting out the fuel, not because we're going to do a belly landing, but because it's too heavy, so it's got to be lighter for them to let down, right? Yeah, it's no problem. But I'm not thinking it's no problem in my mind. I'm thinking, I got to be careful with my heart. You know the only thing the Cuban doctor gave me? You know what he gave me? He gave me one aspirin and told me to go home and take one a day. I'm going to take an aspirin. No, thanks. That's all he's got. You know, I'm not going to do bypass surgery in Mozambique. There is no way in the world. I'll die first. I'm not even going in the hospital. If you've been in the hospitals in Mozambique, you'd know what I'm saying. I'm not doing that. So I'm on the plane. We're circling around. We go back. Of course, I miss all of my... Oh, we landed safely. I miss all my doctor's appointments that day. 6 hours later, they get us another plane. We have to fly to Maputo, which is the capital. It's two flights up of stairs where I got to go to wait for the next flight to South Africa. And I'm walking like this. Because I don't want to drop dead of a heart attack. I'm thinking, Mozambique, I'm going to be on the runway walking from the plane on the ground, you know, and the sun's beating down on my head. I'll be dead right there. My wife and kids are back there. They won't even know where I am. They'll think I'm in South Africa, and I'll be dead on some runway. So I'm walking slow. And I got to the top, and I remember praying. I said, God, I just need your peace. And God was just so faithful through all of that. So I finally get down to South Africa. But you know, through all these difficulties in life, we need the peace of God. And no matter what we go through, whether it's medical or whether it's financial or whatever it might be, because I know that there are problems in people's lives right now in this group. I don't need to be a prophet to know that. I know that. I went to Calvary Chapel Mission Viejo to their Thursday night prayer group because afterwards we were meeting with their missions board. And as we were sitting there, we were going through all the prayer requests. There was at least 10 prayer requests for people with cancer. I mean, people that are going through cancer, can you have peace in the middle of going through cancer? You know, can God be with you and meet you and be there during that time? And there were all kinds of other difficulties and problems as you see prayer requests. Because in the church, when there's a group of people, there are problems and difficulties and stress. And for some reason, God wants to be with us, but he wants to take us through a storm. And we have to go through storms in this life, but they're going to produce something in us that is more valuable than gold. So we need that. Now, sometimes you're in some kind of a difficulty or problem, and you can just bail on it. You know that? You could just bail. Did you know that Jesus at any time could have called for a legion of angels and been rescued from any situation he wanted to and gone back to heaven? Angels! I mean, if I could call on 100,000 angels when one of those little customs agents takes my documents and wants to extort me for money, it probably wouldn't look good. There might be some fire. I'd be like the disciples, you know. Should I call down fire now, Lord? But Jesus always had that opportunity. Paul the Apostle, you read about all the things that he went through, all of the times he was beaten and whipped and imprisoned and shipwrecked. All he had to do was saying, I'm going home. All those things would have ended. I'm going back to Tarsus, or I'm going back to Antioch, to my home church where everybody loves me. And I don't have to stress about all this stuff. All he had to do was stop sharing the gospel, and he would have been fine. Some things you can just opt out of, but God doesn't want you opting out of those things. Some things you can opt out of, like cancer or difficulties or sickness. There's things you can opt out of. There's things you can't opt out of. There was an article I read by in the Voice of the Martyrs. It was Abu. And now that seems like isn't that the name of the monkey? I'm sorry. Isn't that the name of the monkey in Aladdin? I don't know. Abu, Abu. His real name was Abu. Abu Fadi. He was grabbed by ISIS. And he was there with his sister and his wife and his mother. And they said, are you Christians? And they said, yes, we are Christians. They basically took him away had the knife ready to chop his head, they said, all you have to do is deny Jesus. And the words that he said was, even though he felt weak and expected the sword to plunge into him at any moment, he sensed God's peace strengthening him. No, I am not a Muslim, he stated. I do not denounce Jesus. That's an excerpt from a book called I Am N, from Voice of the Martyrs. You know, some things, he was basically saved from that, but that's not really my point. When you go through those difficulties of life, Jesus can come and bring you peace, and that's what we need in this life, is that peace. Now, I got down to South Africa. I went and saw the doctor. Doctor looked at the report and said, let's throw this report away. This report is no good. He said, when is the last time they calibrated this machine? How old was that machine? The whole middle part is missing. Let's do all the tests. Let's do a couple of enzyme tests on your blood, and let's do another EKG and stress EKG, and let's see what happens. Long story short, they do 3 stress EKGs. They do the enzyme tests on my blood, and I'm perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with my heart. Now, I'm ecstatic at that point. I'm jumping up and down. I can run up steps now. I'm no longer going to have... I'm not walking like an old person anymore. I'm going to just be jumping. I'm not as spry as I used to be, but I was up. It was that Cuban doctor. And his machine that probably hasn't been calibrated in 30 years. It was an old machine. Probably hasn't been calibrated. It didn't even work. I mean, how many people are getting some report spitting out? Yeah, you got a heart attack. You're going to die. I mean, how many people are going through that same machine that doesn't even work? So you need a little bit of patience, and you need some peace in order to live in Mozambique. I'm going to give you 10 things. 10 things to have peace in your life. And that'll be the conclusion of my message. Number one, the time of ultimate deliverance and redemption is coming soon. You know, the end's coming soon. Life is a vapor. Life is short. Some of us might be going quicker than some of the younger people in here, but we're all going, right? And when we get there, there is going to be no more sickness, no more pain, no more problems, no more tears, no more knee replacements, right? No more hip replacements. We're going to be running and jumping and praising God. For all of eternity, it's coming soon. We need to keep that in mind when we go through the difficulties of life. Number two, we need to walk in the Spirit because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace. So we need to stay close to God and walk in the Spirit. Number three, we need to understand that God is with us all the time. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. He's always there. He's always with us. And that helps to know that God's there. It's not a surprise. Be there. I'm with you. If you want to put your head on my shoulder, go ahead. Number four, God loves you all the time. All the time. He didn't get up this morning and say, I saw what you did yesterday. Can't believe what you did again. He doesn't do that. It's not about us. It's not about our performance. We need to think more about Jesus' perfections than our imperfections. The perfection of our salvation than our imperfections. He's forgiven them all. He doesn't hate us because we keep doing the same things over and over again and don't seem to learn. He still loves us. And if something that he does can help us become stronger, then we should count it all joy, though it's not always easy. God loves you all the time. Number five, if you're not harboring any unrepentant sin, God is not punishing you, okay? And I'm sorry, if he does correct you, which he does sometimes, and I don't think it's a bad thing to ask, guys, there's something I should change in my life, but we need to understand that God's not punishing you for this, in this. Number six, and I love this script. This may be a little twisted, but 1 Kings chapter 19, 3-5 is three of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. You know why? It was Elijah's failure. Now that seems weird that some of my favorite scriptures are of the failure of somebody, but here was Elijah. To me, Elijah was a hero. I mean, that guy did amazing things. I'd love to do the miracles that Elijah did. I'd love to be that guy. Man, that guy was just so full of faith, and he saw things that nobody else saw, and he did things that were so amazing. And yet, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19, it says, then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree, whatever a broom tree is. I don't know if they're brooms or whatever, and praying that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors who are already dead. Now, here's a man of like passions. I like that. You know what? God doesn't gloss over the fact that we're all sinners, falling short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. You realize that I can understand that you guys all face temptations. You know why? Because I always face temptations. I don't always succeed, and I can understand you guys don't always all succeed because we're all the same. The good guy is Jesus. The hero in the story is Jesus. The forgiveness is in Jesus. It's not in us. We're no good, but God's making us better and better, and he's making us fit for all of eternity. And we need to understand that. You know what? We're not unusual. We're not alone in this struggle of life. That's number six, understanding you are not the only one who is afraid and feels alone. Number seven, fix your eyes on Jesus. God says, fix your eyes on me, the author and finisher of your faith. And whatever happens, number eight, give thanks. Now, I know that's tough. Do you give thanks for cancer? Well, you can say, thank you, Lord, what I'm going to learn through this, how I'm going to grow through this. I don't think I want to say like John Piper, or let's embrace our cancer. I don't want to say that. But maybe we can say, Lord, thank you that even though I'm going through this, through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Even though I'm going through this, I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, I'm going to stay close to you, and thank you that this too will pass, whether it's with you in glory forever, or I get healed, or whatever happens. By means or no means, but by all means, Jesus. So I'm going to give thanks, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to confess my fear and my anxieties and ask God for peace. Because if we give thanks and we pray, there is a promise in the Bible, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will, not might, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And number 10, always read the Bible. Because it's the only place you're going to find any truth. And it's the place where you'll find comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We could read Psalm 23, 1 through 6. But be in the Word, because the Word can give us comfort. And we can walk in the Spirit. And those things are so vital, because as we walk in the Spirit and we pray and we give thanks, it says in Romans 8, 6, that the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Whether we have a posterior myocardial infarction or don't. I talked to a guy at the table the first service. He said, I had the exact opposite happen. I went to the doctor and he told me I had a strained muscle in my chest. That was on Friday. On Monday, I was in for open bypass surgery. The doctor said the exact opposite. So I guess it's... There's stress in this life. Planes don't get to their destinations. But the good thing is to know that God will not allow your foot to slip. Did you know the Bible says that? He won't allow your foot to even slip. I like that. He who keeps you will not slumber. Psalm 121:3. That means 24/7, God's with you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Matthew 10:30. You know, in this life, God can wake up at any moment. I always like this. And rebuke the wind and waves in a second. Whatever problem you have, in a second, he can say, silent, be still. If he does, awesome. I'm going to pray for that. I'm always going to pray for that. I'm going to pray the storm stops. But if it doesn't, Jesus is right there. He could at any moment stop this. Now, this story is a picture for all of us, because we all walk through difficulties and fears and uncertainty and You know, I just want you to know that one of the things about living in Mozambique, I don't think one bit about the political system in America. Our president just ran off with $163 million and the treasury's empty because he lost the election and he's gone. He took all the money with him. You know, if we had... Don't get me on this. So I'm thinking in a different light, and I come here, and everybody's so worried about this little guy. I'm telling you, it's a little... I mean, I don't care. I don't care who it is. Every single president that ever comes is a little guy. Don't fear this little guy. Jesus is great. You're going to rule over the nations. Don't get so caught up and worry about, oh, America's going down the tubes. America's been going down the tubes twice, and we had two great awakenings. God could have another great awakening coming. God could have a revival coming. We don't have to be so negative. We don't know. And if he comes back, we're going with him. Yes. It's all good. Yes. We don't need to get so hung up about this and think it's a despair. If the place goes down, we're going up. I mean, I'm a pre-tribulation rapturist, so it's okay for me. And I know for a fact that no matter what happens, that if I stay faithful, God is going to protect those with the great tribulation that comes upon the whole earth. He knows how to keep us safe. He knows how to guard us. We don't have to worry about the things that this world worries about. Let's not worry about those things. We got enough problems in life. Let's not take on some more problems, okay? Let's not take on every problem that comes on the news. We don't watch the news. It's been nice. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, you can watch the news and you can figure out, oh, I'm so worried. God's on the throne. God's in control. The only thing he wants from us is to strengthen the church and evangelize people. And we are, when we do that, we will be the salt and light of this earth. No matter what political stuff we do or don't do, we're still going to be the salt and light of this earth to stop the destruction that could come and be greater than it is. Our job is to strengthen the church and evangelize people. And we ought to keep that first and foremost in what we're doing and on Facebook. That's the first thing we're thinking about, not the other, all that other stuff. And then I really think the key here is the keeping our eyes on Jesus, walking in the Spirit, giving thanks in every circumstance for everything that happens, for that's the will of God, we know that. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe that he's going to give us a peace that'll take us right through all the way to the end. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that your word is true and right and awesome and glorious, and we all win. Lord, the end of this story, all of our stories, is that we win and we end up in your arms. And Lord, that is glorious. No matter what happens, we can have a peace that you're with us and you got something great around the corner. This too will pass, no matter what it is. So bless each person here. Give each person peace. And bless each one. Thank you for them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.